Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Numbers 19 to 96. M.R., Number 22. Statements for use in the Nickel Book. Release requested by Elder Nickel for use in his book concerning Mrs. White. The way is now fully open for James to go forward in publishing the present truth. We love you and love to hear from you. We should have written you before, but we have had no certain abiding place, but have traveled in rain, snow, and blow with the child from place to place. I could not get time to answer any letters, and it took all James's time to write for the paper and get out the hymn book. We do not have many idle moments. Now we are settled, I can have more time to write. Letter 4, 1850, page 1. To Brother and Sister Collins, February 10th, 1850. Dear Brother Hastings, sorrow not as those who have no hope. The grave can hold her but a little while. Hope thou in God, and cheer up, dear brother, and you will meet her in a little while. We will not cease to pray for the blessing of God to rest upon your family and you. God will be your sun and your shield. He will stand by you in this your deep affliction and trial. Endure the trial well, and you will receive a crown of glory with your companion at the appearing of Jesus. Letter 10, 1850, page 2. To Brother Hastings, March 18th, 1850. I had the privilege of being with my oldest boy 2 weeks. He is a lovely dispositioned boy. He became so attached to his mother, it was hard to be separated from him. But as our time is all employed in writing and folding and wrapping papers, I am denied the privilege of having his company. My other little one is many hundred miles from me. Sometimes Satan tempts me to complain and think my lot is a hard one. But I will not harbor this temptation. I should not want to live unless I could live to do some good to others. Letter 30, 1850, pages 2, 3. To Brother and Sister Loveland, December 13th, 1850. Friday, March 20th, 1896. I arose early, about 3:30 in the morning. While writing upon the 15th chapter of John, suddenly a wonderful peace came upon me. The whole room seemed to be filled with the atmosphere of heaven. A holy, sacred presence seemed to be in my room. I laid down my pen and was in a waiting attitude to see what the Spirit would say unto me. I saw no person. I heard no audible voice, but a heavenly watcher seemed close beside me. I felt that I was in the presence of Jesus. The sweet peace and light which seemed to be in my room, it is impossible for me to explain or describe. A sacred, holy atmosphere surrounded me, and there was presented to my mind and understanding matters of intense interest and importance. A line of action was laid out before me as if the unseen presence was speaking with me. The matter I had been writing upon seemed to be lost to my mind, and another matter distinctly opened before me. A great awe seemed to be upon me as matters were imprinted upon my mind. There were some things that made the reform dress a decided blessing. With it, the ridiculous hoops, which were then the fashion, could not possibly be worn. The long dress skirts, trailing on the ground and sweeping up the filth of the streets, could not be patronized. But a more sensible style of dress has now been adopted, which does not embrace these objectionable features. The fashionable style of dress may be discarded, and should be, by all who will read the Word of God. The time spent in advocating the dress reform should be devoted to the study of the Word of God. The dress of our people should be made most simple. The skirt and sack I have mentioned may be used, not just that pattern and nothing else should be established, but a simple style, as was represented in that dress. Some have supposed that the very pattern given was the pattern that all were to adopt. This is not so. but something as simple as this would be the best we could adopt under the circumstances. No one precise style has been given me as the exact rule to guide all in their dress. The Lord has not indicated that it is the duty of our sisters to go back to the Reformed dress. Simple dresses should be worn. Try your talent, my sisters, in this essential reform. Letter 19, 1897, pages 2, 3. To Brother Hoy, July 4, 1897. Used because of parallel wording with early writings, 67. He has not been willing to bear reproof, but has been ready to rise up in heart and justify self. Was rich and increased in goods, had a whole spirit, would get angry, and all this has been nourished and fostered by some of the church. If those who have been in the church for weeks and months have not learned the straightness of the way and what it is to be Christians, and cannot hear all the straight truths of the Word of God, it were better that they were cut off from Israel. It is too late in the day to feed with milk. If souls a month or two old in the truth, who are about to enter the time of trouble such as never was, cannot hear all the straight truth or endure the strong meat of the straightness of the way, how will they stand in the day of battle? Truths that we have been years learning must be learned in a few months by those who now embrace the third angel's message. We had to search and wait the opening of truth, receiving a ray of light here and a ray there, laboring and pleading for God to reveal truth to us. But now the truth is plain. Its rays are brought together. The blazing light of truth, when it is presented as it should be, can be now seen and brought to bear upon the heart. There is no need of milk after souls are convinced of the truth. As soon as the conviction of truth is yielded to and the heart willing, the truth should have its effect. The truth will work like leaven and purify and purge away the passions of the natural heart. It is a disgrace for those who have been in the truth for years to talk of feeding souls who have been months in the truth upon milk. It shows they know little of the leadings of the Spirit of the Lord, and realize not the time we are living in. Those who embrace the truth now will have to step fast. There will have to be a breaking up of heart before the Lord, a rending of heart, and not the garment. 1. 1854, 2, 3. Reproof for Adultery and Neglect of Children, February 12, 1854. If you had the task given you of handling Old and New Testament writings, you would see large improvements to be made, great additions and subtractions, and changes of expressions. You would put in words and ideas to suit your standard of how it should appear. We should then have Fanny Bolton's Life and Expressions, which would be considered by you a wonderful improvement, but disapproved of God. Letter 7, 1894, page 1. To Fanny Bolton, February 6, 1894. If I can present to the people the facts in the case as they exist, it may save some from making shipwreck of faith. I have been sent some of the most frivolous questions in regard to the testimonies given me by the Lord. Letter 180, 1906, page 1. To Brother and Sister Nicola, June 15, 1906. I was directed by a messenger from heaven not to take the burden of picking up and answering all the sayings and doubts that are being put into many minds. Stand as the messenger of God anywhere, in any place I was bidden, and bear the testimony I shall give you. Be free. Bear the testimonies that the Lord has for you to bear, in reproof, in rebuke, in the work of encouraging and lifting up the soul, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. 61, 1906, 1. Hold fast the beginning of your confidence, June 3, 1906. I greatly desire that you shall understand all things clearly. I had hoped to answer your letter of April 26th long before this, but I have had many important matters on my mind which required first attention. To some of the questions asked in your letter, answers have been given me. For an answer to some of your questions, I am instructed to refer you to statements already published. Letter 224, 1906, page 1. To Elder Sadler, July 6, 1906. I invest in the work of God all the means that I can possibly spare. I sent $1,000 to Elder Blank to help in beginning the work in New York City. It was thus that I helped in the advancement of the work in Australia. I borrowed money for the erection of meeting houses and to provide facilities for tent meetings. I used the royalties on my books to help in starting a school in Melbourne, and then I borrowed money from those who were interested in the work. Besides what I have invested in Australia and in Europe, I have also made donations to the Southern Field. I have borrowed money to send to them when they were in strait places. I shall continue to do all I can to help the needy fields. Time is short, and I wish to see the money of our people that is tied up in banks put into circulation where it can help the work of God. When I receive what I have invested in my books, I hope to have money sufficient to repay what I have borrowed, and to have more of my own money to use. Letter 103, 1904, pages 1, 3, 4. To Brother Craw, February 24, 1904. White Estate, Washington.